Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions and the law. My name is Matthew Kerbis. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. In this episode, I interview Andrea Sager. Andrea is the founder of The Legalpreneur. Andrea has set out to do the same thing as me and help small business owners with legal issues via subscriptions, but she has taken the unique approach of doing it not as a law firm. Instead, she's providing valuable legal information, training, and productized legal services to help her subscribers and working with affiliate law firms for when those entrepreneurs need legal advice. I'm a big fan of this approach, and I hope you're either inspired to do something similar or consider reaching out to Andrea to sign up for her affiliate program. Thank you to my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, links to both in the show notes, more on them later. And remember, use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED when signing up. It lets them know you found out about them from the podcast. You get 10% off, and it really supports the show. I'd love to hear about your experience using my sponsors. Please email me your comments at kerbis@lawsubscribed.com. For subscriptionseminar.com, I'm taking firms off the waitlist one at a time in the order they signed up, so sign up now to get your spot in line. I'm an active participant in the process of helping you use the subscription model, so I can only work with so many at a time. Thank you for your patience. Another way to support the show is to share it with someone you know. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode. Andrea Sager, thank you so much for coming on Law Subscribed.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, this is fun. It's like, you know, sometimes you just get told about people out there and you look and it's like, holy crap, you're looking in a mirror. Like, I can't believe I'd never heard of you before, but like looking at your website and seeing what you do, like, just I see so much of like how I came to some of the very similar decisions that you made in your business, which for me just feels great. But in case people haven't already gone to thelegalpreneur.com, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to my audience?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I'm Andrea Sager, CEO and founder of Legalpreneur. I founded my own law firm back in 2018 after doing a very short stint in big law. I very quickly realized that I was not made for big law and I wanted to support small businesses. I already had a small business. And because of that, I had a network of small businesses. And so I constantly saw the need that they didn't know where to go to. And this was back in 2017, 2018, when online businesses were definitely a thing, but not as big as they are today. And I had an inkling. I was like, I feel like I would have business if I was out on my own, but I'm not. We never know for sure. But luckily, I, you know, got the axe from big law because I wouldn't quit myself. So I got fired, which I always say I manifested getting fired and was the best thing to ever happen to me. But I started my law firm, did really, really well. We brought in $1 million within 2 years. And that was mainly from trademarks. So I started just as a trademark attorney. But who needs trademarks? Businesses. And all of those businesses kept coming back, asking little questions here and there. And one thing that I despise about big law, which most attorneys do, and why you're probably listening, is the billable hour. And all of these clients, they would come back and literally ask me a question that would take me 2 minutes to read the email and respond to the email. So I didn't want to charge hourly for that. I didn't want to have to keep my time. And I actually had a client ask me, and she was like, hey, can I just pay you every month and you answer my questions? And I was like, you know what? That's genius. Let's do it. So the very first iteration of the Legalpreneur membership was back in 2019. And it's so funny like how much it's changed over the years. But that was the very first iterations of it. But that's how it came to be. It started in my law firm. It has always been called the Legalpreneur membership. The membership itself started as something just having a different offering, but basically the same stuff. It was all for small businesses. And at the end of 2021, so in 2020, I went through a divorce. And then at the end of 2021, I realized I had more clients than I wanted in my law firm. And at that time, I had a lot of attorneys asking me for help to coach them, mentor them. And at the time, I had no idea what to do. I was like, I don't know how to coach you, or I don't know how to help you. Like, just, you know, look at my website, just do what I'm doing. I don't know. But at that time I realized, okay, I've had this idea to go all in with this Legalpreneur brand for a long time. And at the end of 2021 is when I realized, okay, it's now or never. So at the end of 2021, we made the decision to kind of leave behind the law firm and go all in with Legalpreneur. So 2022 was our transition year. And it was rough, I'll tell you that. Because all the legal rules, obviously, no fun. You gotta stick within the lines, but then you're trying to do this thing and do that thing. And so 2022 is a struggle because in order to build out Legalpreneur, I essentially had to leave behind, you know, $1 million per year business. And finally, we built our own app. We started transitioning. We brought on a different attorney, Legalpreneur attorneys, to serve the clients. So that's what it is today. Legalpreneur itself provides a lot of the legal resources, the education, the DIY products. And then in our Legalpreneur membership, we have a tier, our advanced tier, where they get all access to their own attorney, and the attorneys that have their own firm, they service the membership when the clients need it. And then now, very recently, we began launching our mentorship. We also have a marketplace for attorneys, because one thing I realized that I'm really good at is the marketing. And so we had to launch the marketplace because we had so many incoming clients still every single day. And I'm like, we have to completely shut down bringing in new clients because we have to finally just 100% be all in with Legalpreneur. So we have the Legalpreneur marketplace for attorneys. We have our 6-month mentorship for attorneys to help them grow the law firm of their dreams. And then we also have it as a course as well. So that is Legalpreneur in a nutshell.
Hey, hey. I mean, that's something, right? Because it's such a similar journey to me. And
yeah.
You seem to be a little bit more far advanced in so many of the different areas. But you've also been running your firm for a little bit longer too, even like before the, you know, you have some more experience there. But I was having conversations with lawyers. I was starting my firm. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, this would make a good podcast. And so as I was like, and it really wasn't me starting my firm. I was going to launch a subscription model at my old firm. And so I was doing research for that. And then I was like, well, let's make a good podcast. But it's hard to start a practice within a practice. And when you have your own ideas, you know, you want to be the one who has all the decision-making power. So anyway, I decided to start my own firm. I also had the podcast. I started talking on it. And lawyers were like, teach me how to do it.
Yeah.
And so just very recently, I started a wait list for a subscription seminar that I'm offering, which would probably just be very complimentary to like what Legalpreneur is doing for lawyers. Like I don't see us as competition. I'd see us as, you know, very complimentary. And my thing is it's a 5-week, a 5-month, or a 10-month course. It's all the same thing. It's just how fast do you want to do it? Mm-hmm. And then it's done. So that's it. But, you know, I feel like I'm only teaching them like one slice of like the of how to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm still learning. I'm still figuring it out. But there's a need. And so I'm so glad that you're filling that need. And you also have a podcast, at least on your website you advertise it. But unlike me, your podcast is targeted towards actual clients of Legalpreneur, right? So how did that come to be?
So honestly, my first clients in my law firm were clothing boutique owners. That was my first business. And so that was where my whole network was. So very quickly, I started running into conflicts. And I feel like it's so random, but I was like, okay, I have to tap into new markets. Like, how am I going to do this? And I had seen like a Facebook ad for Podcast Movement. It's the biggest podcasting conference. And something hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if I could go and have a booth or I could go and speak there. And so I literally just emailed them and I was like brand new. I think I barely had my firm for a year and I got a booth. And immediately I was like, great, I have this whole podcast network now. And a year later, I had been wanting to start a podcast because I was like, okay, if I'm going to be serving podcasters, I need to practice what I preach. So finally got it launched March 2020, right when COVID hit. And it's been great. We're actually on a hiatus, the first hiatus in 3 years, though. Over the past year, I was putting out 3 episodes a week. Because I just love creating content. I love being omnipresent. But we've been stretched very thin right now. And it's like, okay, let's figure out what's moving the needle the most right now and focus on that. So I know the podcast isn't done forever. It's just like, hey, this is what we need right now. So yeah, that's the podcast.
Yeah. But you know, it's still out there. And I'm sure people are, I'm sure if you ever look at the downloads, like it's going up.
Yeah. It's funny because I haven't even really promoted any episodes since the last episode in April. And I just got an email Monday that we still have thousands of downloads per week. And I'm like, well, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Useful evergreen content, right? Yep. At least for a while, you know, not forever evergreen. Yeah. Yeah. So, and so fellow legal podcaster too, how about it?
Yeah.
How did it take so long to get introduced? So
I know.
I know. So anyway, you said that, because we've talked about so much already, that a client gave you the idea for the subscription model originally, huh?
Yeah.
So, you know, was it like when they said that, was it just like a light bulb moment and then you got to problem solving how to do it? Or or did you take some convincing from your client? Like, what was that like?
I think it was all divine timing. So she mentioned it to me and I was like, yeah, that's a really good idea. And then I joined a business mastermind. And because I've always been at the focus, like, hey, I'm a business owner first, not a lawyer. Yeah. And I know that has really benefited me, that mindset. And so I joined just a business mastermind, and my mentor there, he also gave me the idea. He was like, you should do this. Like, why don't you have a subscription? And I was like, I've been thinking about that. And so he kind of helped me come up with the first iterations of it. And so I think within, you know, a month or two of first coming, like hearing the ideas, when we officially launched it.
Yeah. Yeah. And certainly there's probably been some lessons that you've learned.
Oh, gosh.
Since the beginning. So, you know, like, this is why my listeners tune in, you know, like, so like, what were some of the things you learned that you had to change that maybe you wish you would have known when you got started?
I mean, I don't know if I would have changed it, because everything has just been a learning process, and you may not understand it until you go through it. So at the I think the very first iteration, which I do have a couple of clients from that very first time that I launched it, it was like a pre-sale price of like $70 a month. And I very rarely hear from those clients. So I don't, you know, we've talked internally like, hey, do we want to make them start paying the new price? I'm like, I just don't think it's worth it, because we don't even hear from them.
Right.
And, but those first iterations included like 30 pages of document review a month, unlimited phone calls, you know, like the whole kitchen sink.
Wow.
And then we have slowly cut it back over the years. And I can't remember if it was the end of 2020 or early 2021, we had our biggest launch. So we would launch it with webinars. And I think we brought in like 50 new clients with one webinar, which was the most we had done at that point. And at that point, I was the only servicing attorney. And from that point, I mean, people signed up. I think it was March. Yeah, it was March 2021. People couldn't schedule a call with me for a month. And so that, from that point, the client service portion was tough. Like, I definitely refunded people, because I've always been of the mindset, like, if I'm not giving you top tier service, like, I don't want your money. So definitely that, we were not expecting that many people though. So, but I mean, it's all a learning process. So I wouldn't say like I would go back and change it. It's just, those are definitely some of the mistakes, some things you want to be aware of that may happen.
Yeah. And like, that's a really like salient point to one of the overarching themes of this podcast, which is like, I've been asked, aren't you worried about creating competition? It's like, come on. There is so much need out there. And like, I am just one person, attorney, you know? And at the time, you were the one attorney at the, you know, that was servicing your clients. So like, there is huge need out
there. And I don't think there's never a shortage of clients, and I'm not everybody's cup of tea. You're not everybody's cup of tea. I encourage small businesses all the time. Like, if you don't even think legalpreneur is the right person for you, like, go talk to other people. And especially because a lot of people come to me for trademarks, and that's what a lot of our marketplace attorneys get, is trademark work. And whenever I'm talking to small businesses, I tell them, look, whether you use a legalpreneur attorney or any other trademark attorney, this is what you're looking for. Like, if they don't require you or highly suggest a trademark search, I would suggest finding a new attorney, because that's a big part of it. So I'm always just educating and helping people understand, like, I'm not going to tell you I'm the only person available. Legalpreneur is the only company available.
Right. 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 Although, you know, to be fair, like, there's a lot of lawyers out there. but they're not doing what we're doing.
No, not at all.
So there's a lot of choice for consumers, for lawyers, mm-hmm. but like very little choice when it comes to like accessible, affordable legal services
mm-hmm.
where you know how much it's going to cost before you actually get the service.
Yep.
So you have here on your website, like the option one, option two membership plans.
Mm-hmm.
Did you always start with two membership plans?
No, that's actually very recent, of within the past couple of months, because we kept hearing, oh, I'm not ready to pay that. I'm not ready to pay that. And just to give the listeners insight, like the very first iteration of the membership, like I said, was like $70. Now it's $350 a month or $3,500 for the year. Then we launched a lower version because we kept hearing, oh, I don't think I need to pay that much. I only need this or I only need that. And we're always going to have those people. But I kept having, you know, the thoughts of, I think we should have a lower tier, which doesn't include an attorney, but does include the resources, the DIY stuff, the education. And so that's the second tier, the base tier that you see there.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is in the CLE that I give on the subscription model. Like, this is one of the things I recommend, is get a low accessible price for the market you're trying to serve.
Yeah.
So like, I'm trying to serve the latent legal market. So like my lowest price is actually $20 a month. And while it is like mostly everyday people who will sign up at that level, sometimes I do get business owners who want to test out my legal services, because I don't offer any legal services unless you are a subscriber. So they will sign up at the $20 a month and do the $50 a page a la carte and test me out before they upgrade to my business levels.
But nice.
And I do have a $99 a month level too, but that's more targeted at like individuals than it is at business owners. And I would say, though, even your $349 a month, very affordable for businesses.
Yeah.
So like, are you seeing like freelancers, solopreneurs doing it more? Are you seeing more mm-hmm. like, you know, franchise owners, you know, using it? Like what's the, without, you know, violating any attorney-client privilege if they don't want to be known, like what is the makeup of the clients who are signing up for this type of thing?
So we have basically anything and everything, any type of small business. We have franchise owners. My core niche is the online business space,
mm-hmm.
business coaches. That just happened to be like where I fell into. But we have, you know, local brick and mortar stores. We have we have contractors. We have franchisees. There's, you know, we run the gamut. And I always tell startups, once you're past like a seed round, because now being, you know, a tech startup, we're at a ton of startup events and we always, of course, they're like, oh my gosh, I need you, blah, blah, blah. But I tell them, like, once you're past a seed stage, you've outgrown us, because at that point you're big enough and you probably need somebody in-house anyway, or at least a big full service firm. But for most small businesses, the solopreneur, the online business owner, perfect for legalpreneur. I would say the base membership is perfect for those that are absolutely just getting started or planning to start a business. And then those that are starting to really grow and scale, that's what the advanced membership is for.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's super interesting. And like, there's no one right way to do this. And like,
even though our
pricing is a little different, like I think the underlying philosophies that we're using to approach the design of our business are very similar. But I've reached a different conclusion. So like, I feel like maybe you're serving like early stage startups. I am not. I don't, because there are firms that like, that's what all they do. Yep. And I've even had a couple on my podcast. I think only one of those episodes is live though, that like they have a subscription for that. And mm-hmm. it sounds like you do too. But I find that like, I'm a great, they've in between for like, they've already raised money.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a law firm that helps them with like the venture stage of all that stuff. But for everyday stuff, employment stuff, contracts, like until they are actually large enough where they're hiring a full-time in-house attorney, I'm the perfect lawyer for them.
Yeah.
Just not for the startup stuff. Just for like the everyday, vanilla, boring CEOs will normally handle those legal things. Like that's the gap I'm trying to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
are
you also filling that gap? Because I see that you, like, looking at your stuff, like, you could also be filling that gap, right?
So yes and no. We absolutely can fill that gap. But I think just who our audience is, who our niche is, it's really not startups. And not that I have anything against startups, I've just really cornered the online business space. And I think it's a breath of fresh air for a lot of the online business owners that probably they usually come from corporate America. Mm-hmm. They feel comforted by the way that I educate them. And I don't know, I just feel like I don't vibe that much with startups. Even though I'm a startup, I'm just like, I would rather just work with my small business peeps that are online. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so would you say that you are like, you are a tech startup that happens to be a law firm? Like, is that like?
Well, definitely not a law firm, but I would say we're a tech startup that educates and provides access to legal.
Okay, well then tell me how that works then. So Legalpreneur is not a law firm, but you do connect mm-hmm. members with attorneys. So like, mm-hmm. what does that look like?
Yeah, so we contract with solo attorneys. The solo attorneys will either, there's two ways for them to get clients from us, and this is how we help the solo attorney build the law firm of their dreams. A, they can either get clients that are in the Legalpreneur membership, and how we train the attorneys that I teach them, hey, when you have these Legalpreneur clients assigned to you, this is your permission to sell to them. So everything that Legalpreneur does for the small business in the membership, it is setting up the attorney to sell to them. So I always tell the attorneys like, hey, I'm putting you on the 1 yard line. Now it's your job to get them into the end zone. So we start them with the business audit, and that business audit is telling the small business, hey, this is all the stuff that you have already in your business. Now this is all the stuff that you need. Now here, go with your attorney and get all this done.
Okay, I think I understand now. Legalpreneur is like Hello Divorce, but for entrepreneurs. Is that what it is?
I think so. I've heard of Hello Divorce. I don't know exactly what they do.
So what Hello Divorce did is Hello Divorce productized all of the things around a divorce that's not actually giving legal advice and providing legal services, but is like right up to the line.
Yep.
And it was started by a lawyer who wanted to make her practice more efficient.
Yep.
And like, but then like clients would start there and it was not a law firm, but then like it could hire the law firm if they actually wanted to do that, to like take that additional step. So like that is like what you're doing.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Okay. And so it used to be your law firm would be like, if they needed the lawyer, your law firm would step in and do the legal stuff. But now you've pivoted to contracting with the solo attorneys.
Yep. Yeah. So now we get to help both sides. We help the small businesses, and now we get to also help the solo attorneys.
Oh, that is okay. So that is a really interesting model. I wasn't entirely sure about going into this conversation, but now I think that makes a lot of sense, and that is super cool. Still very relevant. And it answers another question I was going to ask you, which is like, how do you handle licensing? But if you're contracting with solo attorneys in any jurisdiction, I mean, that's how you handle licensing, right?
Yep.
Okay. Because then another thing I see on your website is become an affiliate. And I did think to myself, like, how could you can't do an affiliate program if you're a law firm.
That's the whole reason why I wanted to start Legalpreneur.
Right. Right. Because like that is like one of the best ways to market is affiliate programming. Right.
Yep. And
the incentives are aligned, totally aligned. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've sponsored for this podcast and like it is not an affiliate program, but it is structured somewhat in a similar way. My sponsorships. Right. Like not entirely, not verbatim, but that is, you know, like use the code law subscribe to checkout. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's like kind of like the same way that affiliate marketing is tracked with like a code sometimes or a shareable link or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super cool. Wow. So yeah, so like lawyers listening to this podcast, check it out.
Because
it might be a way to get some business, you know, into your firm. So then my next question is, and I think like the reasonable next question is like, how are those lawyers charging? Because I do see here on your website, it says you get 15% off all legal services with your attorney, which is sort of like your Legal Shields or mm-hmm. Legal Zoom type things, where those membership plans that they have, you get a discount on the legal fees if you sign up for their subscription. So that is being done in the market. But then like, how are those lawyers charging? Are they billing time, some of them?
So I don't cap anybody's rates because I can't tell somebody in Oklahoma what they can charge. You know, they have to charge what somebody in New York charges, or somebody in New York has to charge what somebody in Oklahoma charges. So I just tell them like, hey, like you set your rates. However, you know, you have to provide the 15% discount. And then we don't take a cut of anything. The only thing we're making is the membership fees, all of our a la carte products. And then there is a fee to be listed in the marketplace.
for the lawyers.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
That makes
sense.
And
then, yeah.
That's the way to do it. That's how you get around the legal ethics, right?
Right. No, and it's perfect. I mean, we charge $200 a month for up to 5 leads. And I mean, on average, a trademark package is $2,000. And most of our attorneys, I mean, they've made thousands and thousands of dollars from spending less than $1,000 with us. So, I mean, I have found my gift, which is marketing, connecting with the small business owners. And then that's why I really want to help the solo attorney, because a lot of them don't want to focus on marketing. They just want to be a good lawyer. They just want to get the job done and be done. I am obsessed with marketing. I'm obsessed with connecting with the small businesses. So that's really the sweet spot of Legalpreneur for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for solos, because so many people are trying to sell to solos. I'm a true solo. My assistants and all that and staff are just automated technologies. But I get to try to get sold to all the time. And I feel like for that marketing opportunity to get those clients is very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all the inbound that I get for pay me this and pay me that, Mr. Yeah. Solo Attorney.
I still get all that stuff. I'm like, if you looked at what I actually do, you would not be contacting me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I also listen. I'm a podcaster on LinkedIn, so I get all this podcast spam LinkedIn DMs all the time.
Yeah.
We'll help you reach 1 million listeners. It's like, there's only 1.3 million lawyers, and my podcast is for lawyers. So, you know, you didn't actually look at even the name of my podcast, did you, spammer? Well, would you consider yourself like a recovering attorney, or are you still doing a little bit of law practice here and there?
When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional-only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high-quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney, or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form at scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED at gavel.io to get 10% off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show.
So I tried to completely cut off the law practice. That did not work, though. But I think once I finally got over the burnout, because I was filing a ton of trademarks every year. I got burned out. I did get a little burned out. But once I recovered from that, I have found joy again in doing some things. So like right now, I'm helping a friend. She's acquiring a company. So I'm helping her with that. I do have a couple of clients now where they have several businesses. They'll pay me an annual fee to file all their trademarks for the year. So really, it's just those more certain thing. I pick and choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a nice place to be, because I think really what got me burned out, besides just going through a divorce and going through all of that, was feeling like I had to hustle for like the next trademark client, the next this, the next that. And so having the subscription model has been, you know, saving grace, and being able to still educate about trademarks, bring in trademark clients, but also being able to lift up the next solo attorney like that. It's beautiful what I get to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially like from having to bill so many hours in big law to now doing this, there's just, you know, just not having to do that anymore, right? Is a huge
relief. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. I guess then Andrew, if you would ever want to share this episode to your attorney, solo attorney members, you know, if they are sick of billing time and want to start figuring out how to productize their legal services as lawyers, definitely they should continue to listen to this episode and also sign up for my subscription seminar.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, and you know, like for my $20 a month subscriptions, I don't think I could get 15% off that. Like if I were to sign up as like an attorney member, right? Because that's like real low. But like everything above that, I feel like I totally could give 15% discount on all my other fees, even though I intentionally have very low fees for like the market for my monthly pricing.
So yeah, and I love
you got me thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I love all of the different ways to do subscriptions because, like you said, there's no one way to do it. And whenever I had the Legalpreneur membership in my law firm, the big difference, and that's why we just had people all the time, was we did offer half off of up to 3 trademark filings per year. And so, and people would have to pay in full for the year to get that. And I mean, that just brought in a crazy amount of revenue. So just even hearing about like different ways to structure your subscription, if anybody has a subscription in their law firm, I would highly suggest some incentive to getting them to pay in full for the year, giving them an extra discount, because that was really a big seller in our law firm. And now people don't miss it because it's just a new clientele. Mm-hmm. But if I was doing it in my law firm, absolutely 100%, I would be doing that all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. It is one of those things, like, I really want to bill a year in advance and give like a discount like all the SaaS companies do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd have to hold all those funds in my IOTA account. And set up an auto transfer at the end of every month.
Well, the way that we structured it was, you have access to everything now because you paid, instead of, you don't have to wait this long to have access because you paid in full for the year. You have access to all of it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like it's one of those things where, like you said, like legal ethics are no fun.
It's so annoying. So annoying.
And we're operating, you know, in the gray area. It's not explicitly allowed and it's not explicitly prohibited. It is completely silent as to like the innovations that we're doing. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we're just doing our best to comply. Yeah. And like, there's nobody knows what the right thing is. And it's complicated because if you go and petition for changes to the rules, then you're also drawing unnecessary attention for.
Right.
I mean, typically older lawyers who have no freaking clue, you know, who are making mm-hmm. those decisions. So I'd rather just keep operating in the gray and doing my best to be ethical about it as best I can. And so like for me, I feel like I don't know how I would set that up where I could like feel comfortable not mm-hmm. keeping it in my IOLTA, you know, for the next 11 months. But I'm sure you can structure it in a way that it can be done. Like that's like I completely think that that can be done. I just.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
And I've always been of the mindset of if whoever wants to come after me, like come for me, please, because there's half of the legal industry that wants to complain about not having access to justice because it's so expensive. And then the other half, when we do it, you want to get mad at us for not doing it by following this little bitty line right here. And it's like, you know what? Come after me. Let's fight over it. Because guess what? I highly, highly doubt that you're going to be the one that wins when you're fighting and crying for the public to have access to justice. And this is our way of doing it.
Right, right. I mean, absolutely. Like, think about all the disputes that can be avoided that end up in court causing a backlog, and using all the public's resources to resolve these things and pay more judges and more staff at the courts and more technology for the courts and mm-hmm. all these things, when, you know, if businesses hired, you know, signed up for Legalpreneur and got attorneys through there, or they hired me, we could help them avoid those things because they're paying us up front to do work for them and be available. So like, not only is it cheaper and more affordable for them than paying a lawyer by the hour, but it's like, we're saving society money, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many attorneys ask me about it. They're like, well, what about this ethical rule and that? I'm like, if they want to come after me, like, let them. Like, let them come after me. I will fight about this all day long because I'm operating in the gray area. And if they want to tell me that I'm not operating in the gray area, like, let's challenge this as a whole. Like, my goal, so I don't think I mentioned this, like, my goal is to change the legal industry. I want to provide more access to small business owners to having the legal resources and services that they need. And then I want to help solo attorneys actually build the law firm of their dreams, because we have been so conditioned by this archaic industry mindset that it's not benefiting anyone. And until somebody steps up and changes it, nothing's going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, my singular goal, like at least with this podcast, is eliminating the billable hour.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you also have to do all the other things that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I see our goals as very much aligned. For the types of clients that you're serving, like they're like Shopify kind of businesses then, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're like online businesses.
Yeah.
Huge need for that. And I mean, I have to imagine like content creators, because they are like these days, content creators are also Shopify businesses or whatever service they're using to sell their merch or coaching or what have you, right? Like that's like your clientele mostly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, though maybe I'm wrong, that these are not people who were paying lawyers $400 an hour before. Is that right?
No, not at all. Not at all. And one of the biggest challenges for legalpreneur to getting those clients earlier, because my whole thing is I don't want you to wait till you need an attorney, because if you wait until you need one, you have waited too long. Mm-hmm. So our biggest challenge is getting in front of them before and at the beginning. And I've seen our biggest success in that is aligning with their authority figures. So when I joined that business mastermind, I was in alignment. Like I just aligned with a lot of business coaches, a lot of people that were training, teaching those small businesses. And because, you know, those small businesses trusted their authority figure, they put me in front of them and they automatically trusted me. And that has been by far our biggest return on any type of investment. And that's honestly just a time investment. So that's my biggest goal, is always just aligning with authority figures that have the audience of the small business owner, the content creator, because that's going to be the biggest alignment.
I think that's genius, because like that is like, so I recently did a LinkedIn Live, which I failed to record on Zoom. Like on Zoom. So like it's on LinkedIn forever. But I wanted to also publish it as a podcast, but I don't have that recording, unfortunately. But it's out there. And we were talking, it was with a legal marketer expert, Conrad Somm. And we were talking about like, can you market, like how do you market problem avoidance? And it's hard because people need intention and they don't have intention for avoiding problems. They have intention for, I have a problem, I want it to go away.
Yeah.
So, you know, the solution that I came up with during that conversation was, once you help them solve their problem, hopefully you get them at the beginning or early, then you've solved their problem and now you can could sell them on problem avoidance moving forward for other problems that they can avoid. Like that's like how you sell problem avoidance. But what you've just said is, who are the people that the clients, your ideal clients, are already listening to?
Yeah.
And work with them or figure out a way to get in front of them in a similar way. And I just think that that's genius.
Yeah. And that, because when they are, and I've experienced this, you know, in positive and not negative ways, but it wasn't as big of a payoff. The way to really have the best payoff from that is to really stress to whoever that authority figure is that they need to stress to their audience, like, hey, you need this. Like you need, these are the reasons why you need it. So my mentor that I joined his mastermind, it was actually perfect timing with him because he had just gone, I think it was like a Higbee copyright thing. And so he was like, oh, like I have to get all this stuff taken care of or else this is always going to happen. So it was divine timing there. But because he had also gone through that, he was always the biggest proponent of me and that every small business needed me. So having that authority figure that understands and also talks about it, embodies it, like that's going to be your biggest payoff.
Yeah. And that's just like, in a way, it's like the classic way lawyers get clients, which is referrals. But it's like, is one of your referral partners or one of the people who like, you know, refers you business or recommends people go to you is just like a thought leader, you know, in their space.
Yeah.
Like getting like that kind of thing. So it's just like, you know, referral business, you know, times a million.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. Yeah. That's great. That's great. So as we're rounding out our conversation, though, I am interested in learning about like the technology that you're using. Now, while Legalpreneur is not a law firm, it is a subscription business. And so you're using all sorts of technology that aligns with that type of business model. So my listeners would love to know, because I actually don't use too much legal tech. I use non-legal tech to power my subscription law firm.
Yeah.
So like, what technology are you using to power your business?
So we built our own app, but let me talk about when I had the law firm. I think that may be more relevant. We I never really use legal tech either because I find it to be very irrelevant to what I'm doing. And that's always an idea on my head, to create legal software for transactional business, transactional lawyers. But we did use MyCase, and that honestly, we didn't use it to its best capabilities. We just used it for intake forms, keeping track of all the, you know, all the clients that we had. But that was really the main, I mean, that was really our only software, like legal practice management wise, and we didn't use it very much. But when it, we talked before about Calendly, Calendly has always been my absolute favorite. And if you are a lawyer not using Calendly, you are wasting time and money. Calendly, I think that's $12 a month, and that's the best thing in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and it's like, how are they charging so little? Like, I probably pay three times as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. But then even like for example, like, so you have a custom software solution, essentially, you know, because you've built out your own app. And maybe that even be worth having a conversation about whether or not it's worth it to do something like that. But it still, like, integrates with things like, do you integrate it with Stripe to power your payments? Do you, like, mm-hmm. use Plaid? Like what are you using even on that side of it? Like,
so I personally use Stripe for legalpreneur payments. I use FortisPay, FORTIS, for law firm payments. And they, if anybody listening uses LawPay or any other, like, legal software payments, I would highly suggest Fortis. They're not my best kept secret because I've talked about it before, but they are made for professionals. So they have lower rates. They have just a better platform. I've used them since 2019 or 2020, and they just have better rates, number one. And they've just been better. I know a lot of people either love or hate LawPay, but their rates are just too much. Anyways, but
so with FortisPay, though, you're able to, like, pay for processing fees out of an operating account, so you go into an IOLTA account, or it's just like, yeah, you are?
Yeah, you can separate everything in there.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, that's the problem, right? Yeah. Like, that's why people use LawPay. Like, my firm signed up with Gravity Legal, and unlike LawPay, they don't charge a monthly subscription to use it. They do charge, I don't know if they charge the same or, like, a slightly higher, like, flat rate off of every transaction, but it's paid out of the operating, not out of the client funds. But I'd not come across FortisPay yet. I definitely have to look into that because Gravity Legal hasn't decided to sponsor my show yet. So
yeah,
they keep getting all this free promo.
I can actually make an introduction. So one of my friends, he came from the chiropractor business, and he's a co-founder in Fortis. And he was like, look, we were just made for professionals. So it's not like Stripe where they aggregate all the underwriting. They actually underwrite each individual account. It does help, like, knowing one of the co-founders, but I can definitely make an introduction.
Yeah. So then, you know, other tools like that, like your Calendly's and your Stripes, like, for example, another subscription you pay is either one of these two, probably Google Workspace or Microsoft 365. Which are you using?
Google.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Google. I love Google Docs. Google Docs, Google Sheets. I love that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the 2 terabyte plan for the cloud storage and stuff too.
Yeah.
I'm doing that for my business, though. I'm also doing that for, like, Apple. Like, I probably only need to do one, but it's nice to have things in duplicate and triplicate sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like, so are there any other, like, software things like that that are not solved by your custom software solution that you're also using?
Yeah. You know what? Let me actually pull up
your
all
tech
of
stack.
It.
Yeah. Let's look at
this. Because I keep track of all of our numbers, so I can pull up my budget. So Smith AI, they are
the phone
great.
System.
Yes, right. They've been great. I can't tell you how many compliments I've received from other attorneys, other just, like, clients. They're like, whoever answers your phone is so professional. They're great. And I was like, thank you. I never have to touch anything with that. They just take care of everything. Active Campaign. So that's our email system. I don't know if my case sends marketing emails, but ActiveCampaign, because we're such a, we are a digital marketing company, online digital marketing. So we have 20,000 email subscribers. So we do a lot with email marketing. And then we just started using ClickFunnels. So we have our main website on WordPress. So thelegalpreneur.com is on WordPress, but we are slowly switching to ClickFunnels because our app, basically they get access to the app after we purchase, and just what we're doing with our marketing and stuff, it's just easy. ClickFunnels is easy. So all of our attorney stuff is on ClickFunnels.
So we've had on the podcast, those episode is not live at the time of recording. It will be live by the time yours is live. We've had, what's his name? Sam, who is like the ClickFunnels, like lawyer guy. Like that's his thing.
I don't know
that is. Oh, I mean, he has My Legal Academy, but he used to have like my like legal ClickFunnels is like his thing. And he adapted ClickFunnels to legal services and wrote the book called like The Virtual Law Firm.
Oh.
And so he doesn't necessarily use the subscription model, but so much of what he's doing like meshes so well with the model.
Yeah.
But I did not realize ClickFunnels could be a host for your website.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've made a lot of changes. And so I don't know, my operations manager, she's also my real life best friend. I always tell her like, you just tell me what we need and we'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, good. Well, yeah. Website builder, WordPress or ClickFunnels. But yeah. See,
yeah.
This is the thing people want to know. So what?
Yeah.
What
and other I think
free promo for these companies that we can give, you know?
Well, personally, I don't think a lot of attorneys need to have like that traditional law firm look, that traditional law firm website. And y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't even know how to describe it, but you know what I'm talking about? It ultimately depends on like who's your ideal client. But if you're working with small businesses, they don't want to feel like they're talking to a lawyer. They want to feel like they have a partner that's helping them. And so that's just been my experience. Now, specifically for Legalpreneur, what we now have began using is NetSuite. They are an ERP, and we're actually doing, they have a accelerator for startups. So we're doing that this year with them. NetSuite's been great, tracking numbers. It's a CRM. You can do email marketing with them. So we're looking into switching to that. It's like a whole back end for a lot of companies.
So ERP is Enterprise Resource Planning System.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the potential of like all-in-one solutions because then it's easier. You're all in one place. But then I love Calendly. It's like, you know, there is something about niching down and doing one thing really well, a software tool to use.
Yeah.
And something that's a third-party software that integrates a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So, and I guess like a Stripe or FortisPay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I mean, like that, like, you know, there's so many more ways to be creative about how to run the firm. And I'm assuming for most of these, you're paying a monthly price to use the service at that level, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you have a subscription business, you're like, okay, here's all my budgets. I have the same spreadsheet you do. I call it my subscription in parentheses tech stack.
Yeah.
Because here's all the subscriptions I'm paying. And I do have the tech separator from the non-tech subscriptions. Like insurance is like a subscription, right?
Yeah.
My malpractice insurance is on that list. But I track all of it and I see all the things I'm using. Are you using like an e-sign software like Adobe or DocuSign or something too?
We use HelloSign. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's another one.
There
I knew you,
you
used
yep.
something like that, right? You have to. You have
yep.
to. All right. Well, you know, look, we covered sort of the access to justice thing. I like to talk about that. My last question for you is one that I always find is better than when I have guests on here who could actually speak to it because, you know, being a white man, you know, using the model, I'm in the minority here, but in most of the profession, the lawyers look like me, though are twice my age. But still, you know, ABA data in the profession has shown that, you know, big law has failed women and attorneys of color. Because even though more women and attorneys of color are going to law school than ever before, even more women than men, only 20% of leadership at big law, at least in 2021, were women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of that, I think, you know, having had these conversations is, you know, women have the courage to want to spend more time with family and do things like that and are penalized for efficiencies.
Yep.
At billable hour firms when they're able to get the work done equally as good, but faster. So, you know, women are the ones innovating in this model more so than men.
Yeah.
And just like, I want to get your input on that. Like, why do you think that is? And why does every lawyer need to stop billing their time?
So that was exactly what I saw in Big Law and why I didn't want to be there. I mean, I was told so many things. I was like, I don't think you're allowed to tell me that to my face. Like, I don't think you're allowed to say that. But I very quickly realized, like, that is not the place for me. And I mean, innovation is how we get to write our own rules. And for so long, you know, we just kind of thought this is how it has to be. But finally, we're all waking up and it's like, actually, no, it doesn't have to be like this. And we get to write our own rules. Like, I remember just some of the awful things that were said. And I was, what? Like, I get it now. Because I had never experienced, you know, the blatant, you know, discrimination, the blatant, just ridiculous things that you hear about but never experience. Like, I actually heard it. It was said to my face. Like, I experienced it. And then I was like, F this. Like, I will just go and do this on my own. And that's why there's so many more female entrepreneurs. There's so many more people of color that are joining entrepreneurship, whether that be as a solo attorney or just as an entrepreneur in general. It's because we're tired and realizing, hey, this isn't how it has to be. Like, we get to write our own rules. And that's what I'm so grateful for, to be in this position, because I did write my own rules. And even so, I was married to a white male that laughed in my face when I told him my goals. Like, he didn't, like, there was no support. There was no, like, yeah, you can do this. You're like, you're stupid. Like, why would you think you can do that? I'm like, okay, sit back and watch. And so now he's the one watching from the sidelines. But like I said, I want to change the legal industry. And I think a lot of people want to see change, but it starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with actually changing. Because we've all heard the quote, like, nothing changes unless you change. So unless we change, nothing is going to change, which is why, I mean, I challenge any, like, I'm not inviting the ABA or anybody to come look into, like, what I've done or anything, but I want it to openly be okay for us to have subscription models, for us to openly be able to do this or that, not have to operate in this gray area. I want solo attorneys to be able to have, like, so I'll say this one thing really quickly. Whenever I hit my first $100,000 month in my law firm, I happened to have a call with another mentor who he has a mid-sized law firm. And we were talking about something. It was like substantive law. But I was like, oh, guess what? Like, I finally had my first $100,000 month. And he was like, oh, is that billed or collected? And then he started to, like, question, like, how are you able to do that on your own? And because there's so many archaic beliefs, mm-hmm. and because it's such an archaic industry, very few have done that. Very few have grown, you know, a multimillion dollar law firm without being in personal injury, it being in transactional. I had so many people, attorneys, tell me, like, oh, you're not going to be able to just do trademarks. You're going to have to do other areas of practice. You're not going to be able to do this. You're going to have to do this. Like, no, like, I want to do trademarks. Like, this is what I'm going to do. Obviously, it turned into more. But until more people are built up, more solo attorneys are doing what they can to change the industry, it's never going to change. And so we, as the solo attorneys, have to put in the work, have to actually change to change the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the takeaway there is, like you said, you know, you write your own rules. And when you do, and you're not writing, I'm going to do the billable hour. Yeah. I mean, like, that's like, you know, so I think that's great. It's not going to get any better than that. So my last question for you, Andrea, that I always like to end these episodes with is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
Oh gosh. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Yes. Because it's a piece of meat between two pieces of bread.
Okay. All right. Well, if people want to follow up with you or reach out, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can find me on Instagram at Andrea Sager Law. You can reach out thelegalpreneur.com and yeah, come say hi.
Right. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for sponsoring this show. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with someone you think would find value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email kurbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Kurbis with Law Subscribed.